And I think we're good to go. This is Michael Howell at Appalachian State University. It's April the 2nd, 2010, and I'm here interviewing Melissa. So, Melissa, if you would introduce yourself and just tell us either if you're from here or where you're from and a little bit about yourself, and then whatever you'd like to talk about, we'll just start there.
Okay. My name is Melissa Truesdale. I was born in Hickory, which is down the foothills of the mountains. I've traveled a bit, and I've ended up here in the mountains, and I think I've been here about 8 years. I decided to come up here for kind of a new career. I came up to be an acupuncturist.
Yeah.
And there is a fantastic acupuncture school up here in the Sugar Grove area. So I started out in Zionville. And
now, where is that?
Community that is like, it straddles Tennessee and North Carolina. So people always thought, oh, you live in Tennessee. No, I live in North Carolina. But it's that close to the western line. And so it was a good sample of what it was like to live in the hills a bit.
Wow.
And I loved it.
Did you? But you're from North Carolina originally?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
All and right. Only Hickory.
Okay.
I mean, that's 63 miles from campus, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just a short little jaunt. And I've moved a couple little places in the area because I've rented. But I'm in Blowing Rock now, and I really like it up here, especially the attitude of, kind of an open attitude around some wonderful folks, and the air and the countryside, so, and I like the folks that are locals, too, so.
That's nice.
It's become home. I didn't go through acupuncture successfully.
Okay.
I hit my head again,
oh.
So that was another head injury.
Wow.
So that kind of canned that for a little bit.
Okay.
So now I'm just up here.
Well, sounds good. Yes.
It kept me up here longer because I fell in love up here.
Oh, is that right?
I was going to go back down the mountain, but I fell in love with a wonderful girl. A girl I thought was wonderful. She's not a wonderful girl. But I thought she was wonderful, so it moved me into Blowing Rock and gave me a new sample of life.
Wow.
You know. But now I'm single, and, you know, life goes on.
Right.
So, that's my origins. Of course, I have lived in, well, this would be appropriate. I've lived a little bit in San Francisco. I've lived in an area, a little town called North Truro, which is right outside of Provincetown. That was my dog. And where else have I lived that's been a little bit unusual as far as just open communities, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in the middle of Wisconsin, which is not open whatsoever. That's about it as far as like longer term. Oh, Massachusetts, Lenox. So, but as far as the gamut, I enjoyed San Francisco for what it was for short term. Couldn't live there.
Wow.
Provincetown was really nice. It's just different.
I imagine. I've never been to any of those places.
Provincetown is typically, my association with it is that it's very comfortable for gay males. Very, very comfortable. And, I mean, for everyone. But as far as a home base that anybody can feel welcome in. Actually, I considered myself heterosexual when I was there. This is a new switch for me.
Okay.
Because I was raised in Hickory. I did the wedding. I was married for 7 years. He got a 7-year itch. And we just decided that was it. And I've been a professional woman all my life. And I've never had my mind closed or open to anything. It's just, you fall in love, you fall in love. And I'll just tell you that I was dating for a while. I was actually dating a guy when I went to San Francisco. And traveled around a bit, and I came back into the Hickory area. And I was moving up here. And there was a girl that I knew that was helping me move. Something kind of traumatic happened in the move. Somebody had gotten it out for me or whatever, and it was just a tough time. It fell into a, of all people, I fell into one of the worst people to deal with up here. Talk about luck. I mean, he's just really well known for that. And I didn't know any better because I was new. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see the warning signs that kind of the Appalachian people put out that say, just don't mess with him.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
So I was really taken. So I went home and I was a bit crushed and going, it was just a disaster. The next thing I know, Christy's going, you know, I'd really like to kiss you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay. You know. And all of a sudden, butterflies just wide open. And I played in a symphony, and I played symphony that night going, what just happened? I really feel amazing. And it was kind of, nothing had been closed before, but it just wasn't in my picture. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something I ever thought I was attracted to. I always appreciate people. I always appreciate this, that, or the other. I've always been friends to anyone with any kind of situation. Just no bias. I've enjoyed the communities.
Mm-hmm.
But here I was suddenly there.
Wow.
And, you know, my bottom line is I could call myself bisexual. If it pleases someone, I'll call myself a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could ever go back to just heterosexual. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense because there's a sense of closure around that word.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in politics, it seems like you say that, it means you've denied all the other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe that'll change. I tend not to label, but at the same time, some people need that label. What are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm actually finding the lesbian community needs it more than anything else at this point. You know.
So then does identifying as lesbian sort of help you integrate with that community?
Yes.
Is that something that they look for?
There are some people, I've been to some events,
uh-huh.
and I think I've been pretty quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course... Well, let me back up. There was one event I went to, and there's a very non-trusting person somewhere out in the community. And she was like, you know, why are you here? You don't act lesbian.
Oh, who was in that community?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why are you here? Are you here to hurt us?
Oh.
I'm like, no way.
Uh-huh.
But I really don't know what I'm up to because I'm new at this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the feeling I get. So you're a lesbian. I'm like, well, okay. You know.
Uh-huh.
But so I went through that process of, oh, you must be somebody who's infiltrated so that you can come in and hurt us,
hmm.
which would be a shame. But that has happened to them.
Hmm.
And it was a particular church group that,
okay.
that I was a part of. And they're ever watchful, and I think there's more fear in there that needs to be because of this one person who just has that.
So she's very anxious about it.
Yeah.
This person.
So I think that might bring it to her a little bit more so. It was kind of what I've come to terms with because I was thinking, oh my gosh, is this what it's like? Because I've been a heterosexual woman, seen as a heterosexual woman, all around these wonderful communities, gay, lesbian, you know, trans communities, everything, and never thought twice.
Mm-hmm.
And never been asked that question. And suddenly I've just had a wonderful relationship that, you know, I broke up with Christy and I was in that process also. And I'm put in the situation of, what are you?
Hmm.
And it was just an odd thing to be in my 40s
mm-hmm.
and to be asked, what are you?
Mm-hmm.
Very odd. So I kind of kept quiet after that. And I went to something at ASU that was a wonderful, wonderful group, a show or something. And a young girl, obviously a freshman or something, stood up and said, I'm bi. And there were people in that group that said, well, then you just haven't decided what you are. And I went, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, there's going to be prejudice whichever way you go. And what I started out to say is, I fall in love with the person no matter what. And that's how I see other people fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think beyond that. So these labels are just something that I kind of have to pick up and say, well, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was lucky to grow up as a heterosexual. I wasn't as confused.
Mm-hmm.
I fit in all the molds. I didn't have to go through these different curves and things. Because to do it at 40, I cannot imagine what it would be like to do it as puberty hits. I've had great compassion and great insight before, but nothing like this.
Well, now, having been raised in Hickory, mm-hmm. which really sort of falls into this area
okay.
of the Appalachians in the first place, very close
yes,
anyway,
right
on the border anyway, mm-hmm. if it's not technically. So you were raised, or I guess you developed heterosexually, or
right.
that's how you felt up until your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
So in Hickory, at the time that you were growing up,
right.
what were the messages that you were picking up about sexuality, or did you, were you sensitive to any messages about sexuality?
I was born in 1960, uh-huh. so I was sensitive to anybody being discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the town of Hickory when the Black Panthers came through, and I remember it, and I remember curfews, and I remember people being different were discriminated against, be it the color of your skin, be it the way you acted, be it the person you hung around with. And it was very, I mean, Hickory is a southern town. And it's a lot of communication versus up here in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
you know. There's a lot of people that talk. So there's a lot more talking that goes on. And the message that I was given as a child, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
was just be careful who you hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
Not the identity, but if they're good quality people. But then that also would slide into, well, you can't go with a black person, brown, purple, pink, or polka dotted.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume it would have been tough on my family.
Mm-hmm.
I do know now that I'm this age that I was hit upon by women.
Mm-hmm.
Like even in junior high school, there was a girl that I assume was attracted to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was clueless. I mean, I was clueless of guys hitting on me, too. It was just one of those things. It'll happen when it happens. It's going to be fairy book. And I just didn't worry about it.
Yeah.
But thinking back, it's like, I think I would have been labeled more of a problem child. I think it would have been more of a stigma. And in my household, it would be more of a, gosh, just we would need to support that person because they've chosen a hard way of life. That would have been the verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd hate for you to choose a hard way of life because
mm-hmm.
life could be a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was working in a profession, I mean, I was a teacher. I ran businesses. I consulted. A musician. I'm around all sorts of people. And when there was one gentleman who, in Hickory, was in the arts field, who openly kissed his boyfriend as he got out of the car or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and people saw it and went, oh, you know, and it was the talk of the town. I was like, so?
How long ago was that?
Let's say 15, 20 years ago.
Okay, all right.
So I was in my 20s at the time, so 60, 70, that'd be 80s.
Okay.
And it would have been a first.
Mm-hmm.
It would have actually been a first. Of course, my family would have been, well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So your family was pretty supportive.
Yeah.
I
mean, it didn't happen in their house
open
yet.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I did get the message that I really wouldn't be able to date somebody who was off color.
Okay.
Because it would be too hard of a life. Why would I choose that?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if it had turned into something serious, which I could regret that dearly, but I knew that if it was serious, my parents would have a problem with it. We would work through it. I know that with my parents. But their overall concern was, you're choosing a hard way of life. Do you want to be socially going upstream? You're strong enough to. We know that. I mean, they put that in there. You're strong enough to do this, but do you want to choose that battle?
Well, now that you're sort of in this life,
yeah.
how do you feel about that? Is it a harder life
yeah.
that you're choosing? Is it going upstream?
I should be able to say, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Idealistically, oh, it's just fine. Dadgummit, it is.
It is
harder.
Harder, okay.
It is harder. And I would guess that as open and as protective I was of other people,
mm-hmm.
And as much as I stood up for other people, and as much as I never shut my mouth, I just wouldn't be silent if somebody was hurting someone else or just going, you know, mm-hmm. anything. I would go, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. You know, I had that protection of being a female in the normal, quote, world. I hate to say those words, but that would be what it is. Even though people suspected around me long before I knew about it.
What makes you think that?
Went on a business trip. I'm part of a community college, mm-hmm. teaching, running some things. And if these people were to see it, they could laugh or they could disagree with me. It doesn't matter. But I found a postage card that I just thought was adorable. And I had no knowledge that the rainbow flag meant what it meant.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
This is how naive I was. I was just like, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kid of the 60s. I mean, who knows? And so it was the American flag in rainbow colors,
uh-huh.
and I just thought it was amazing. So I brought it down, I put it on my post, my bulletin board at the community college. And they were like, oh, that explains it.
Huh.
And I was like, explains what? Well, that just explains it. I'd go, okay, so you don't like colors? You know, and I did know that they were saying that I'm open-minded.
Uh-huh.
I did know that.
Okay.
I had never hit on a person that was female, and I hadn't even hit on guys that were female.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't my mode of operation as far as anything. There was nothing that I can think of, even in the past, going, okay, she's obviously a lesbian, or she's bisexual, or whatever you want to say. But all of a sudden, the people around me were like, oh, that explains everything.
So what is it that it was explaining?
I thought at the time, my naivety, and that, I thought, well, I'll counter them if they're prejudiced or if they make a statement that's unfair to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll boom, it's out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's what that meant. I don't know yet.
Huh.
That's one of those things that probably will sort itself out,
mm-hmm.
because maybe they meant someone around me, and I clicked better than they thought we would.
Mm.
I don't know. There's no clues there for me. And then, of course, it immediately, here's the other part, immediately one person who I was close to married, obviously heterosexual,
mm.
had no interest, but obviously completely rigid in her beliefs,
mm.
Southern Baptist or something very, very fundamental. Not another word out of her mouth came from me when that postcard went up on the bulletin board.
Hmm.
Wouldn't eat lunch with me, would not walk with me, nothing.
But you'd had a relationship,
yes.
a good positive relationship
and
with before.
And suddenly she found ways for months wow. after that to not interact with me.
Hmm.
Our desks were as close as you are from me.
Wow.
3 feet away. And she just stayed busy. Now, it took me a while to realize that that postcard had done it. And when I realized, I went, well, it's not coming down. She needs to learn that I'm still the same person, whatever she's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned, and she became a little bit more able to be in the same room, let's say.
Hmm.
But it was that closed of a door for her, and I was so sad for her for that.
Hmm.
Because I had done nothing except put up a rainbow flag.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty close-minded. So if that had happened,
mm-hmm.
and I'd been a teenager, oh, that would have been hard.
Mm-hmm. And now, do your colleagues know now that you're identifying as not heterosexual?
I have been completely open about it. I've actually had a hairdresser who lives in Hickory who said, why are you telling people that you're dating Christy? You know, the first girl I dated. And why do you do that? You've got a politically active career. You're a musician. You've got to be hired by people daily.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that to yourself? And I said, why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, just don't.
Hmm.
And I said, but they're going to see me with her, and I'm not hiding my emotions or anything. And I've been warned, just don't.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I don't have a career anymore, and I'm wondering if part of it isn't this.
Hmm.
The symphony has failed to hire me anymore. And I do not know how much of a part of that is. I'm an artist. This should not be a problem. Hmm. And it may not be the problem. It might be that my disability has gotten in the way. They don't like seeing a walker on the stage or whatever. Or maybe it's something else. These are all assumptions that haven't worked out yet. But it's very difficult. I would not have been able to have the career I had. Hmm. And I said that my family was very supportive. My mother and father, who are now passed, I'm sure they would have dealt with it and been supportive in the long run. It may have been difficult. I have a feeling my mother was cognizant of it. She wasn't born in North Carolina. She was born in Nebraska, went to theater school or whatever, came down here. But I'm still having a problem with my middle sister. She won't hug me anymore. We had a very loving, hugging, touching family. The minute she discovered that I was dating a girl, she stopped touching me at all.
Wow.
So her children are not open to hugging me. Now, in my family, you walk in the door, you give a person a hug. Mm-hmm. So suddenly I had to be careful about who I touch. I haven't changed, and I'm definitely not dangerous. But I feel like I have, the one thing that has bothered me about this is the bubble of protection that I had as a heterosexual woman. You could touch guys, and you might be considered flirting. You could touch them on their shoulder, you know, pat them on the back, whatever. But it's okay. And guys are more on the physical as far as the attributes we give them, whether that's true or not. And then women, girlfriends, you know, you're dressing in the same room, you're doing all this stuff. This is all gone now for me. Hmm. I feel the door is shut and I have to be careful.
With women from your past?
With all women now.
All women?
Because I do not want to be perceived as crossing a line. Hmm. Because when I've gotten this kind of standoffish feedback, not only from my sister, but from other people, cohorts, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I guess I just need to be careful now. Because they're taking it in a different venue. I'm meaning it the same mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. But suddenly, you know, I've had people who actually will say, you know, hug, and they'll go, I'm not making a pass at you. Why would you even think of that? Hmm. Just because you're a girl and I've dated a girl before. Mm-hmm. This is really absurd. Mm-hmm. And I would get frustrated, angry, I've cried, I've been sad over it, and I've gone through the whole turnaround where you go, well, it would be easier if I just turned this off and went the easy way. And that's not honest. Hmm. That is not honest. I do not know who I'm going to fall in love with next. I don't know who I'm going to be with next. Hmm. But it's going to have to be honest or else I won't be able to live with myself. Hmm. But that is the one thing that now has changed my entire life. Because I was a very touchy, you know, open. You could give Melissa a hug anytime. Hmm. And I've worked over the years, let's see. Well, I've been up here 8 years, so it's been at least 8 years. Because this was during my move up here. It was kind of transitional. Mm-hmm. And my family hasn't worked it out yet. Mm. Of all the people, you would think the closest ones. And of the two girls that I've been with the most, it didn't work out there either. Because they both informed me that they'd been this way since puberty. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you just don't get it. Mm-hmm. You grew up in a bubble, and you just don't get it. You do have to be careful. Mm-hmm. I find that amazing, that our society is that penetrable, that we hurt people that badly on such a subconscious level.
But your behavior then actually is somewhat directed by this. It has an influence on how you behave and how expressive you are.
Absolutely. Mm. Which shames me because that's not usually who I was in the past. Bringing up the fact earlier that said, I spoke out for people, I protected people, I was outspoken, and I would be polite, mm-hmm. and I'd bite my tongue if it was necessary, especially if there was any danger or I'd cause any problems. Mm-hmm. But now, it's very inward. Mm-hmm. So it feels very unusual.
And do you feel like that's pretty typical of the women that you know?
It used to be. Mm-hmm. I've met some women up here that are much more comfortable with themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm believing it's either environment or age or whatever. You know, every single person's different. That's always been my premise. So to categorize this by, okay, if you date someone young, you're going to experience, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, you know. So, but I'll tell you, one person up here made a comment, you know, one of these social comments, and you can take this all as hearsay, because I don't want to quote this person. Mm-hmm. But as far as social etiquette and stuff, she made a comment that said, you know, I've never met such a lesbian, not talking about me, but somebody else, which is why I feel very strange saying this mm-hmm. out loud. Mm-hmm. I've never met a lesbian that's not friendly, that doesn't want to hug or touch, and I'm thinking, what? This has been my experience. And, you know, this whole, oh my gosh, in my head, and I go, well, maybe she's been hurt. Hmm. And maybe that's just not how she's comfortable. And the person went, no, if you're lesbian, you can just hug anybody. Hmm. And I went, well, I need to learn something from you.
So there are some stereotypes about behavior and
absolutely.
How people act.
Hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So, you're living in Blowing Rock, you're living here, or you're in this area mm-hmm. of the mountains. Do you think that life is different for you here, around your identity, around your life, than it would be if you were in Hickory again?
Yeah.
What do you think the difference is, that being up here?
In Hickory, people would have known me beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I get, when I do go down there, mm-hmm. I get a mix of confusion or a, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
The confusion is what's really bothersome. Oh, hi. You know. But up here, it's kind of like starting over.
Mm.
And I don't know. I've just been careful. My dog,
your dog
is taking
Baloo
over
really
a little
likes
bit.
Me.
He does.
He's very sweet.
He's a happy boy. I tell you what, he's been a blessing.
Hmm.
You can lay down, please, sir. You can. I'm probably more associated with having him around here than I am with anything else.
Well, I think he's a sweetie.
He's my companion at the moment, as far as a medical assist dog and hanging around with me.
Hmm.
I love all animals. I mean, I withheld from volunteering in schools
mm-hmm.
once my identity changed. Yeah. Because it was also at the same time when people were going, well, you know, people who are gay can't work in the schools.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I certainly don't need to cause problems.
Mm.
And, you know, I had been a teacher of 2 years to, you know, 83-year-olds
mm-hmm.
without second thinking, and now I hesitate volunteering in the school system.
So you do feel that that's a perception that people have up here?
I think it's just that's how they've known me, and they haven't known me any other way.
Uh-huh.
So the difference between Hickory and here is they've known me one way,
mm-hmm.
and oh, she's just gone off course for those people, uh-huh. or oh, she came into right. herself, or well, there she goes. You know,
right.
whichever, however you as a person think out there, it's the way you think, but they know me. Here, it's a solid identity. I was open when I came up here.
Okay, but do you think that people here in the Blowing Rock, Boone, Watauga County area also have that same idea that gays and lesbians are predatory?
I'm afraid they do.
Do you think so? Okay, because that's what I think I was getting from what you were saying about the schools.
I'm afraid I do, because my landlords right now,
mm-hmm.
I thought were plenty open.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for a few months, and suddenly one of the couples said, well, you know, that person, blah, 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 talking about somebody else. And I went, oh, you don't know that I'm one of that person category. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I better not tell them. Because it was such a strong comment. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, I'm much more cautious about it. I'm more feeble as far as a social standing. And maybe that's part of it. I'm not in a constant job where it just becomes part of my identity, you know. But it's really interesting.
Wow.
It is. It's very different. That's been the hardest thing for me, that I've never been one to step on people's toes or, you know, I joked before this interview started that I had accidentally outed some people in the past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had no concept, you know, of some of these people that were obviously gay to me, mm-hmm. that were hiding it from other people successfully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had apologies to make, and it was okay. But I don't need to fall into that problem now, because I know what it causes now.
Yeah.
A life experience. When I lived in Wisconsin, I had been divorced, and I was up there as a single woman. I had a dear friend that if she sees this video in any way, I offer her humble apologies for any end result, because I had no idea what was going on. And I don't think she did either at the time. We were just friends, and it was dark, and we were walking home with the dog that I had at that time. And we're in the middle of Wisconsin, and at a university city, Stevens Point. And we were simply holding hands, because I didn't know where I was going. I was new. Mm-hmm. And we were girls holding hands. We had no attraction that we knew of at the time. We were both clueless. And we were just hanging out. Mm-hmm. And I was keeping the leash, and, you know, she was keeping me on the path because it was dark. Mm-hmm. A red truck, I do know it was red after the fact, but a truck came up and tried to run us down.
Wow.
Now, that is my first experience. And that is at a glance. Mm-hmm. This was maybe the second time I'd been around this person, so they hadn't seen us before. Mm-hmm. I was new in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They knew nothing about me. And just because we were holding hands walking together, they decided they would actually kill us.
Wow.
That was an alert for me.
Have you run into anything even remotely similar to that here?
Not that I'm aware of. Now, maybe my partners kept me from it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they protected me. Mm-hmm. But personally, no. Mm. Maybe I closed myself down so that I wouldn't have that situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't hold hands with folks anymore, or just walk around my arm around somebody anymore. So those obvious clues that somebody would take wrong or right or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe aren't there. You know, I'm too much of a scientist to think that, you know, it's all because of the area. Mm-hmm. But maybe it is also. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the time. There are kids that come into my hair at my house. I get CNA. A nurse mm-hmm. to help me out at home. And I've had experiences of people going, okay, I'm leaving. Now, I have not done nothing to them, mm-hmm. but they...
Service provider people.
Mm-hmm. And I've had people mm-hmm. who... I've had a lot of people come in my house. It's their experience, and I can't share that. Mm-hmm. But that I've been there to hear about. But when, say, I was getting ready for a date... Mm-hmm. And they heard the she word, they were like, well, I'm not coming back. Mm. Well, I haven't changed as a person. Mm. You know, in the same earlier part of the day, you liked me, you wanted to work with me, and then suddenly you've decided not to. Now, that's pretty obvious.
And these are healthcare providers.
Mm. And on the other part, which is what I meant to start to say, is that I have to tread that lightly. No. First of all, I'm not going to hide it. I'm also not going to pay to capacitate you, a girl or a guy. You're a healthcare provider, you know. You're helping me brush my hair, get dressed, whatever. So, you know, we're not in this romantically. There is a line here that's just professional. But, I blew. messages.
Is he okay? Does he need to go out?
He's got a good tinkle.
Do you need to take him out?
Yeah. I'll finish this statement just so that I don't have to hold on to it. What has completely pleased me and amazed me are the girls that have come in who, because I'm a girl, so I get girls, you know, is part of the code of healthcare providing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange. But the girls that come in and go, so? Mm. Yes. Or the girls that go, well, great, you know, or well, I've tried this or whatever, if they want to share that. But it seems like the younger you are, the less it matters mm-hmm. these days. So I have a positive feeling that society's changing. Mm. I myself am in my late 40s, so I have that experience. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say before I lost that thought.
Okay.
Shall we go, Tinkle?
Let me stop this now. Or try to, anyway. Pause this, if I can. Pause. I think there's a pause.
I told you I could tangent.
No, there was no tangent. Let's see, is that...
Come here, Blue, please. Thank you.
I can't tell.
Okay.
Well, let's stop it like that.